Why don't we take our seats? Good morning, everybody. My name is Paul Stairs. I'm Vice President for Conflict Analysis and Prevention here at the U.S. Institute of Peace. As many of you know, and the pile of our products out there attest, we have been extensively involved in supporting the stabilization and reconstruction of Iraq. We have a major grant-giving program in Iraq. We have offices in the Green Zone. We conduct training and educational programs to support civil society groups. As many of you know, we were the principal organizer and convener of the Iraq Study Group, the Baker-Hamilton meeting. And we've done a lot of work in terms of facilitating dialogues in Iraq, most recently in Istanbul, and where we brought together neighbors of Iraq for a dialogue on how neighboring countries can support stabilization and reconstruction in Iraq. It is in that context we're extremely pleased to welcome Dr. Ali al-Dabar, who is the government spokesman of the Iraqi government, to discuss Iraqi's priorities at home with the region and with the U.S. Since time is short, I will dispense with a lengthy introduction. Many of you know him from the nightly news and seeing him as the official spokesman of the Iraqi government. He was a member of the Iraqi National Assembly and an advisor to the Iraqi Governing Council before he became the national spokesman. He has been a long-time human rights and humanitarian affairs activist, as well as involved in a variety of commercial activities in the private sector before that. So we're very pleased and honored to welcome him to our podium today. He will speak for about 10, 15 minutes or so and then entertain questions from the floor. I should emphasize this meeting is on the record, which we are very grateful for. And then we will probably conclude at around 10:30, 10:45. One last point, please turn off your cell phones. Actually turn off, not just put them to mute, because even the transmission of signals can interfere with the PA system here. Again, thank you, Dr. Ali al-Dabar, and welcome to the Institute.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The positive message achieved at the Arab Summit in Riyadh concerning Iraq has been well received by Iraqi government, despite the comments of the King of Saudi Arabia that Iraq is now under occupation. Such goodwill towards Iraq now require a joint and collective efforts from Iraq and its neighbors, as the stability in Iraq was the declared objective of the summit. Therefore, Iraqi government took such initiative to pay a visit to Egypt and possibly Saudi Arabia by Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki on the 20th of April, as well as choosing Egypt for both conferences, the International Compact with Iraq and the Iraqi neighbors, the expanded Iraqi neighbors, which is include the P5 and the G8 countries. It is obvious that supporting the odd groups which want to destroy the ongoing political process would not lead to an operative formula for Iraq and its people. The Arabs' effort should be focused on convincing all components to have a dialogue and debate in Iraq to reach to a consensus formula for the most crucial issues, such as constitution amendments, debatification commission, reconciliation, revenue sharing, federalism, and all other disputes which concern them. The call for imposing timetable, agenda, or any other non-Iraqi interest will complicate and undermine the political process in Iraq. And there is a concern in Iraq that the government participation in any regional efforts will be limited only when an Iraqi agenda will be imposed. The Iraqi-Arab relations will be improved and upgraded when the Arab states will show a real step and effort to support the majority of Iraqis in having a federal, democratic, stable state inclusive of all components and have a good governance, the better relation will help limiting the Iranian influence in Iraq, while a weaker relation with Arabs will strengthen the feeling of sympathy with Iran. The upcoming International Compact with Iraq conference could be an important venue for Arabs as well as Turkey and Iran to express such goodwill. It is the right time now to look to the relation with Iraq beyond the ideological, sectarian or ethnic vision which prevents the Kurds and the Shia from integrating in their region, and it is necessary to liberate such vision to a broader understanding. This vision must include all other parameters such as a collective regional security treaty and reject limited alliances. Its principles are avoidance of internal interference, the exporting of revolutionary thought, sectarian fundamentalism, so to keep the region far from the causes of tension in order to defeat and combat the international terrorism and extremism, which may benefit from the different definition of terrorism and receive safe haven, open border to Iraq, easy funding, media and religious edicts, fatwas, which support such terrorism. It is also the right time now to have regional economical cooperation to meet the regional development and interest of the people, as there are a common border oil fields with Iran, Kuwait, and common oil and gas fields close to the border with Syria, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. It is also important to look to Iraq as a transiting country for commodities and airspace, oil and gas pipeline between the Mediterranean and the Gulf, as well as Iran and Afghanistan. All these aspects will reduce the ideological vision and lead to wider perspective, as Iraq could host a giant industrial, agricultural and services project which are needed in the coming years. Having a stable, democratic Iraq could reduce the political polarization in the region and could act as a liberating influence in the Middle East, in the same way which Asian dragons and tigers had played to have Chinese and Vietnamese economy liberated, although they were communist. Thank you very much.
Do you want to stay at the... Okay, we're entertaining questions from the floor. If the mics are here, if you could identify yourself before you ask the question, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Excuse me. Hello, I'm Barry.
Henri Bakil, Lehigh University and the Wilson Center. My question has to do with the latest controversy regarding Mr. Barzani's comments and the Turks. As you know, the Turks are rather upset as to what Mr. Barzani seems to have said, and they sent a diplomatic note to Baghdad, and the mood in Turkey has changed a lot. So my question is, what is the Iraqi government's position, A, on what Mr. Barzani said, and B, on generally the Turkish position regarding Kirkuk and northern Iraq?
Thank you. Mr. Barzani is part of Iraqi government, is a level of the government. He is the president of a regional Kurdistan area, and he should be treated in this. He should not be treated as a militia leader. And their neighbor, Turkey, should understand that interference in the Iraqi and especially in the Kirkuk won't solve the problem of Kirkuk. Kirkuk is totally Iraqi issue, and Iraqis should deal and should reach to a certain consensus regarding Kirkuk. We know Kirkuk is a sensitive issue. We know Kirkuk that it's a concern of Turkey as well. It's a concern of Iraqis, Arabs as well. There should be a fair and justice. We know that there is some mistakes, some problems is going on. We also urge all the Kurds that two mistakes cannot produce a right. Saddam Hussein did a mistake by by pushing the people, pushing the Kurds and Turkoman to migrate from Kirkuk and bring Arabs in their place. Thousands of Arabs been migrated to Kirkuk due to Saddam plan, but again now forcing the others to leave Kirkuk once make Kirkuk stable. This is the principles. At the same time, there is a constitution which draw a map and timetable for Kirkuk to be solved. Iraqi government urged Turkey that not to to interfere in a Kirkuk issue. Definitely, we friendly accept all the advices of the Turkish government, all the comments of the Prime Minister of Turkey, but at the same time, we do support that the Iraqis all should sit together and solve the problem of Kirkuk. Sorry. Yes, please.
Actually, sir, yeah,
I wonder if you would...
Could you identify yourself?
Yeah, Barry Schwartz, Associated Press. I wonder if you'd care to comment on what impact, or if any, the long-standing now conflict between congressional Democrats and the White House on assistance and whether it should be embellished with legislation, should have timetables in it. What impact might that be having on your efforts to pull your country together?
We know that this debate, which is going on, it is the right debate, and it is definitely that it is the most important and the crucial issue for the American to debate about the assistance for the troops. We feel that in Iraq we do need the support of the international troops. We need to build our troops in order to combat and defeat the terrorism, which is not threatening Iraq. It is threatening the whole region. It is threatening the international community, and even threatening the United States. It is not the right solution to have a premature withdrawal of the troops. Troops should continue and finish their job. As part of the responsibility is the training of the Iraqi security forces, neutral Iraqi, professional Iraqi security forces, in order to feel all Iraqis that this is their security forces, is not sectarian one, and this definitely need time. And then when this job being done, definitely that there will be the Iraqi request for the troops to leave. And we feel that 2007-2008, it will be a remarkable year for the withdrawal of some of the troops. Pardon?
What was your reference to it?
2007, end of 2007, beginning of 2008, it will be the time for part of the American troops to be withdrawn.
My name is Robert Gard. I'm Senior Military Fellow at the Center for Arms Control and Nonproliferation. A poll in the last couple of weeks, sponsored by ABC and USA Today, revealed that 97% of the Sunnis and 83% of the Shia oppose the presence of U.S. troops. I might parenthetically note, based on your last comment, that many of the Iraqi troops have received more training than our own troops who are being sent to Iraq. As a democratic society, what stock do you put in public opinion?
I do understand that when you have a poll in every country, definitely the people will say that we do not like the foreign troops to be in our country, especially in Iraq, when they got that much of dignity. Nor Iraqi, neither the American would like to stay for a long time. But there is a job to be done. There is a job to be completed. We still feel that the training is not yet completed. I don't know, sir, what you had based on what that we are receiving more training. That's what your troops. But still, we feel that the building up the police was not in good way. We are facing problem with the police. Police needs more training in order to understand the human rights, in order to understand the right of everybody to be a neutral, to be... Till now, 14,000 of the police staff has been fired because of the problems which we have with them. Definitely needs restructuring of the whole the police the police and the Minister of Interior. Still, we feel that the international troops is doing good. The poll, which you had said, definitely, I don't. It is not strange for me that most of the Iraqis would not like the American troops to stay for a long time, forever, definitely. But we do appreciate, most of the Iraqis appreciate what the American troops have done, yet because they had liberated them from the most dictator regime in the world. Yes, sir.
Yes, hi, David Sands with the Washington Times. Thank you. Can you talk specifically about what the Iraqi government hopes to see from the economic compact meeting in Egypt next month? And also, could you expand a little on this comment you made that if the Arab states don't step up with aid and assistance, that Iran will fill the vacuum in Iraq?
We, in the compact document, you will see that Iraq got responsibility of Iraq what to do, the self-governance, the reconciliation, the human right, the women right, all this which Iraq on a timetable what to do, the legislation that Iraq should perform in the coming 5 years. Definitely we expect that the international community to have a similar support. We do understand that Iraq is a very rich country and we are passing a bottleneck in these 5 years. We do need to build the capacity of the staff of the Iraqi government, the staff of all the governorate, in order to be able to spend the budget, in order to be able to bridge this knowledge gap, which is more than 25 years. We would like that the debt relief, the reparation of the war, to be. We expect that not only the Arab neighbors also to participate in relieving the debt, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the Turkey as well, the other Gulf state, what we expect. But the most important that we would urge the Europe as well to recognize that Iraq is in a political process, in a reforming and in building up the democracy in Iraq. All this should be recognized by all the international community and work on supporting what is going on now, the political process. We understand that the premature withdrawal of the American troops will create a vacuum, and Iranian is not only the danger, the Al-Qaeda as well is the danger. We do understand that Iranian still they are working to dominate the south part of Iraq, and we would urge the Arab, and this is one of the message to Arab, that unless that you will accept to Iraqis and the Shia Arab to integrate within their Arab fabric, you are pushing the Shia toward Iran, and we feel that we are sharing responsibility with the Arabs, that we have to work together in order to limit the Iranian influence in Iraq.
I'm Maurice Shahed from the Middle East Media Research Institute. Welcome, Dr.
Shukran.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
Do you think there is a diversion in the military activities by the different organizations in Iraq from Al-Anbar province to Diyala from one side and from Baghdad to Diwanir to the other side, that we have been seeing recently following the security plan in Baghdad, and what we noticed that in Diwania, according to the news, that Katyusha rockets were used against the Iraqi and American forces? Thank you.
The question, as I understand, that the expansion of the security plan, you said?
Yes.
Baghdad is the key success for the security issue in Iraq. If we succeed in Baghdad, I think it will entitle and it will encourage the security forces, will encourage the Iraqi government to defeat the other causes of violence. The violence in Iraq, I could categorize it into two issues. One is the political, the economical violence, and the second one is the terrorism. What is going on in the south, it is economical, mostly economical, political violence and competition between the different political parties due to the weakness of the probably Iraqi security forces was, as long as the security forces become strong, the other militias and those groups will be weaker. But nevertheless, we understand that the creating jobs, getting cutting the unemployment in the south could help the reducing such violence, will not give chance for the others to recruit and call those unemployment to come and to participate, whether in Jaish al-Mahdi or in any other gangs. I think one of the most important challenges which face us in 2007, that we are we have to create jobs in places where it is give ground for like Jaish al-Mahdi to recruit, Sadr City and the south areas. This is, and that is what Iraqi government is this year. They have in the budget around $10 billion plus $4 billion, which is the Japanese loan. This make $14 billion as a capital budget. Capital investment is going to create jobs in Iraq, and which will minimize this type of violence. The political violence due to non-participation of some of the groups, which they would like to have the political process comes back to 0 point, and they are hesitating. I think the reconciliation, the debatification, the constitution amendment also will reduce this type of violence, which makes the others feel that this is their country, they could participate peacefully in the political process. The most important and the hard one is the violence which comes from terrorism group. This is nothing to do. There is no political, not economical. This is the only, it is even beyond Iraq capacity to defeat and to combat this type of violence. Iraq has been taken as a base for such a group, which is Al-Qaeda, and then supported by some of the Ba'athists and Saddam supporters. This needs an international community support and help in order to feed, because this is not only targeting Iraq, it is targeting all the region. It's targeting the United States. And the unless that there will be an international effort to defeat this, there will be a problem, because Iraq could be more dangerous than Afghanistan if we have problems and if we couldn't combat defeat. This is also is then Iraqi government taking a step, as you said, in Al-Anbar, that the tribes of Al-Anbar start now fighting with those Al-Qaeda. There is an effort also to expand this effort to Diyala, because the people of the Iraqi people, they feel that those Al-Qaeda, they are against them. They are killing al-Ramadi before they are killing the people in Baghdad, because they hijacked all Fallujah and Ramadi, all the West areas, and they look like as they all they are terrorists. They are not. They are good Iraqis, but they've been hijacked. They've been taken by Al-Qaeda, and no one could even the sheikhs, the head of the tribes, they cannot do anything. They migrate to Jordan because they cannot live in a places where Al-Qaeda rule.
Hi, Ben Lando, United Press International. I'm wondering if you can go further into the violence in Basra, what the government plans to do to address that, if anything, and how what fears you have that it may affect both oil production as well as exports.
We feel Basra that is a contact between the regional countries and the British as well as the coalition. Basra is very important, as everybody knows, and Basra has been under attack from all, and is being taken as a battlefield, especially between the Iranians and the British. And the Iraqi government is doing its maximum effort in order to fight those gangs due to chaos going in Basra and the theft and the smuggling of the oil and the diesel, and a lot of gangs has been now dominating some of the places in Basra. There is now been since 1 month the Iraqi government had taken very major steps to change the head of the police in Basra and to support the army, Iraqi army, which is there in Basra, and you will see and you will notice now on the coming days that there is will be a plan to Basra. There will be a new plan to Basra to protect Basra from supportive. We know that there is a flow of money, a flow of weapons is coming from the border, from the marshes. There is long border in the governorate which is close to Basra, and this creates a big problem for us in Iraq. There is an effort with the between the police and the Iraqi army to have Basra, and I think we will notice within the coming months we will notice a good plan for Basra to protect at least, or to minimize, I could say, minimize the violence in Basra. Basra, we in Iraq, we treat Basra as the most important city, because this is the, as you know, it is the our the port, the only port in Iraq. It is the second oil reserve in the world is in Basra. Basra could be as good as Kuwait, and there is a lot of now plans. We had two conferences about Basra Forum. There is a huge number of people which is coming to invest in Basra, and they are asking. We feel that there is a good future for Basra. That is why it is under the concern of the Iraqi government.
My name is Peter Gubser, retired, formerly with an international NGO. Appreciate all your comments. Appreciate your being here first.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments on strategic and security and politics. My question is about development. Fundamental to development are always job creation, education, and health. I'd like to ask, what is the Iraqi government doing with respect to job creation broadly within the society? And I mean the private sector as well as the government.
Yes.
For health, how are you trying to ensure that both urban people and rural people get good public health and direct health? And thirdly, education. Iraq used to have the reputation of being one of the best educated populations in the Middle East. How are you going to resume that role?
Thank you. Thank you, sir. The job creation, we had a problem last year. We don't have, as I said, capacity for the governorate and the ministries to spend the budget due to many reasons. One of them that there is no proper capacity for them. The Iraqi government took the initiative this year. They had spent the budget from the beginning of the year, and they give the initiative that unless in the first 6 months, unless the budget been spent the first 6 months, 25% of the budget will be taken from each governorate or the ministry, and then it will be given to the governorate which spend more and spend their budget as initiative. We feel that this $14 billion of the capital investment, capital budget this year, will create a half million opportunity, half million job this year. Plus the security, which is very important. Once the security is improved, I think the private sector, there is a lot of steps being taken to encourage the private sector. We have an investment law and investment commission, which has been already started, is not yet completed, and each and every governorate there will be an investment, which is a one window application will be submitted in order to get the project approved, or any investor which comes, rather than rooming in 10 or 20. As you know, Iraq is the most bureaucratical country due to the 30 or 40 years of the knowledge gap. The private sector, the health and the education, this year it shows that there is a budget for the Ministry of Health. We have 10 hospitals from the budget. Iraqi budget is allocated for construction of the 10 hospitals in different governorate. The education, we have 200 school. We had a loan from the $100 million loan for only schools, building the schools. The universities, there is a great effort in the universities, although that university in Baghdad face, as you know, a threat from the security, but there is an improvement in Kurdistan area, in the south area. In Baghdad now there is an effort. This was very critical year for us. There is a plan which is for upgrading the universities, for giving the, there is also 1,000 opportunity for the Iraqis to send, to be sent outside Iraq to study also. All this has been taken. This is the first year in Iraq we have this budget located. The last budget in, at the time of Saddam was a $3 billion only. This year it was $41 billion, and we expect that as long as that we improve the oil sector industry, the it will reach to 75 million in 2010, the budget. Yes, sir.
Thanks. My name is Hassan Barayr from U.S. Institute of Peace, and I do appreciate your demands that you put on the Arab countries, especially the Sunni Arab countries in the Gulf, Jordan, and Egypt, to help stabilize the situation in Iraq. And I think this is very legitimate because Iraq is going through really bad time these days. But also, there is a perception, and don't get me wrong, it's not mine, but in the Arab world, there's a perception that this government is a sectarian government that is only serving the Shia against the Sunni, and secondly, it's coordinating closely with the Iranian in the region. So there is fear among the elite and also among the public after the way Saddam Hussein was executed, and it was seen as a sectarian revenge rather than actually justice. So what would you do? My question is, what would you do to assure the Arabs that once Iraq gets stabilized, it wouldn't fall in the Iranian orbit, or it wouldn't be, you know, to use some word, the Achilles heel for the Iranian to intrude in the region? Because for the Arabs, like Egypt, Jordan, and the Gulf, Iran is a major threat.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very important question, Mr. Hassan. As regards the Saddam execution, we do agree that there was a mistake. There was a way which has been treated is not professional, it's not humanitarian. We do agree. But also, to be fair, that we cannot forget 35 years of dictatorship and killing and mass killing just for the 2 minutes mistreatment. We agree it is mistreatment and it should not be happen, but unfortunately it happened. The sectarian, the government is a sectarian. Yes, we hear that one from media, but at the end we should come to reality. Now, how what is the measurement being taken in order to say this is a sectarian government? Government is not an alliance, is not an itilaf only. Government is being taken from the block of the parliament, which is there was an election. I agree some of the comments on the election. Election has been done in a way we have comments. Myself, I have comments on the election. But this is election, 12 million people, they went and they vote in a very hard time. There is a threat, there is a terrorism, and even though you could never find a place in the world that those 12 million people, they come in such circumstances and they vote. At the end, something come out. And out of this, the government has been formed. And the decision in the government has been taken as normal democratic way. So the problem we have in some of the Sunnis areas, there is a violence there. And this is all the governorate in Rumadi, Al-Anbar, and Diyala has been exempted from all the measurements being taken in spending the budget. They've been given extra budget. They've been given, because we are responsible as a government, definitely we are responsible in order to help those people. Those people, they've been also under the attack from Iraqi military forces, from the American, from Al-Qaeda as well. So we know that those people, they suffer much more from the others. They suffer double. So definitely the Iraqi government, they are doing their... I don't know what is the measurement has been taken in order to say. There is the Arab media always, they try to have... to paralyze the government. You know, it's easy to say that it's a sectarian government. The Iran, we are worried. We know that Iran is trying to dominate Iraq. We feel that Iran could constitute a danger for the relation with the Arabs. And some of the Arab scare is legitimate. We understand. But at the same time, that we would like to have a good relation with Iran. We would like to have a good relation with the United States, with Saudi Arabia. But this is not a way that all the Arabs, they keep saying that the Shia of Iraq are loyal to Iran. They are giving the Shia as a great gift. They are giving Iran a great gift that they are pushing the Shia, and then they are pushing the Shia extremist toward Iran, and this is wrong. We are trying to work with the Arabs, that at the end, that we are close to the Arab. The Shia Iraq is close to Arab rather than to Iran, even they are a similar sect they are. Iraq, it shows in all history, so it is a responsibility of the Arabs to pull out the Shia, the Arab Shia, toward the Arabs, and at the same time, it is responsibility of the Shia to prove that they are loyal to their country and loyal. I know it is a debate also in Iraq, this issue, and definitely, unless that the Shia been giving a chance to resist the Iranian influence, nor the United States, neither the Arab world could resist the Iranian influence in Iraq.
If I may interject a related follow-up question, recently there was a large-scale demonstration that was apparently orchestrated by Muqtada al-Sadr. And while largely a peaceful demonstration, there were many banners that were not very peaceful in terms of death to America and so on. As since he is a member of the government that you're a part of, could you care to comment on your assessment of his intentions and the his own game plan as we move forward here?
Yeah, I see not what demonstration is a good sign, that peacefully he had demonstrate and he got a political agenda. It is much better than that targeting the American troops and killing the American soldiers. Peacefully he had demonstrate. Second thing, it gives a mark that there is a freedom of expression in Iraq. This never been before, that they are freely expressed. But at the end, he's reflecting some of the views, his views. But it is at the end is not the majority of the Iraqis. Now, most of the Iraqis, Sunni, Shia, and Kurd, they feel very well that the premature withdrawal in Iraq is not the right step. And you could hear that from Mr. Tariq al-Hashimi. I think he came here and he had showed his view that it is not the right time to withdraw the troops. Muqtada al-Sadr, of course, that he is expressing what he feels, and this is not new for the Americans. They know very well. We encourage Muqtada al-Sadr to express his feeling peacefully rather than having a conflict with the American or with the Iraqis.
Hi, my name is Janine Zakaria. I'm with Bloomberg News. With your permission, I have a short economic question and a political question. The economic question is, Prime Minister Maliki secured, it seems, $1.3 billion in loans this week from Japan to finance water and oil pipeline projects and things of that nature. Is he seeking more loans of that nature from China and other countries? Is this part of a campaign he's on? And secondly, could you talk a little bit more about the new U.S.-Iraqi Baghdad security plan? There's a sense that maybe the violence is shifting to other places simply, yes. even if Shia-Sunni violence is down in Baghdad itself.
Thank you. Definitely we are looking for the support and soft loans. The Japanese loan is a very good loan. It's a $3.5 billion. It's a 0.75 interest. 10 years grace period, 30 years will be paid. We had a $1 billion from Iran as well. It's 0.4%, the same condition of the Japanese. Definitely, we do need a support from the international community during the coming 5 years. Our source of incomes, the oil export, won't meet the requirement of improving the infrastructure for Iraq. We are binded with the Paris Club and the International Monetary Fund, which limit Iraq to take loans from anywhere, except that the conditions which been implemented by IMF, definitely Iraq need in investment as well. The Baghdad security plan is going well, although that there is problems some of the places, which is expected. The second stage of the plan will be started to cover Al-Karkh heavily, and also we had noticed that some of the groups has been outside Baghdad, they are fighting and they are attacking. What we had in March, we had a massacre in Hilla, which is in both the pilgrimage which went to Karbala, as well as in the north of Hilla. This is natural, and we expect that they are hitting in some soft places. But I think that there is a good achievement. The sectarian violence, the sectarian killing being reduced in Baghdad, the crime has been reduced in Baghdad. We are expecting that in the month of May there will be, and June as well, that the displaced families will be back in big numbers to Baghdad, to the places where being, they've been displaced.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name is Balan Saleh, from Kurdish Service, Voice of America. Mr. Dabar, I'd like to mention that since the fall of Saddam Hussein 4 years ago, the Iraqis held several conferences to improve the security and the economical situation in Iraq. As the Iraqi people said, there's no any results, and they haven't seen any results from these conferences. According to sources in Baghdad, they say that the political situation between the Iraqi groups and specifically between the Shi'i and the Sunni Arabs is the real source or the exact source for the situation in Iraq. What's the position of the Iraqi government about that and to solve these kind of political situations between the Iraqi groups? Second, as Paul asked about Muqtada al-Sadr, his latest statement was asking his followers to attack the coalition forces in Iraq. What's the Iraqi government's position on this point? Secondly, do you think that the Iraqi government could dissolve militia of Jaish al-Mahdi? Thank you.
Thank you. Shukran. I say that the Iraqi government is doing at most to solve the political problem. I said part of the violence is because of the political differences, political problems in Iraq. And we have the reconciliation which should continue and should be activated and should be also improved in order to get a final, this the recommendation which we have, part of it is a debatification issue and a constitution amendment which let the others feel that they got the assurance that they will get the revenue sharing, the hydrocarbon law which makes the revenue shared with all Iraqis. This is all these assurances which make the others feel that they are part of the political process and they have to participate. There will be no excuses after all such a step which will be taken. The Muqtada call for killing the coalition definitely is breaking the law. This has been declared to Muqtada himself, to his followers, to Jaish al-Mahdi, whoever is breaking the law. And in Sadr City, which is the first, the implementation of Fard al-Qanun plan, the law enforcement, has been implemented in Sadr City. And you had seen that whoever break the law has been arrested, whoever has been targeted by the Iraqi forces, by the Americans. The disarming or dissolving is not only Jaish al-Mahdi, Jaish al-Mahdi and other militias. There is an order to disarm. This is part of the government plan, part of the security plan. Objective is to disarm the militias. But as you know, disarming the militias is a political consensus between the parties. We are talking on a certain militias which has been defined by the Order 91 of Paul Bremer, and the others which has been formed, like Jaish al-Mahdi and the other gangs. This is all, it will be treated within the law, definitely. And it is the success of the government. It's a benchmark for the government, whether that they are able to disarm the Jaish al-Mahdi as well as the other militias. I think that it's all connected to the improvement in the security. As long as the security has been improved and the government succeeded to improve the security, it will entitle the government to easily force everyone not to break the law. It will force everyone to disarm, and that has been taken now in Baghdad. There will be a declared legislation that the holding of weapons is not allowed except the personal licensed weapons. Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming, Dr. Dabar. Still, concerned Iraqi. I was your president. I'm going to ask you an inside outside question. As an Iraqi living in the U.S., yesterday I watched the Democratic presidential debate on the war in Iraq with MoveOn.org. all of them stated that we need to leave Iraq within different time frames, but the latest was August 2008. Also, Hillary Clinton referred to, and we need, the solution in Iraq is we need to put the Iraqi politicians in one room and ask them to resolve their issues. The way we see it in the U.S. here, that everyone is blaming the Iraqis for not, or the Iraqi government for not resolving their disputes. So my question to you is, how do you see this current government? You touched earlier on resolving the militias, forcing the militias. My question to you, is there any political, diplomatic, or conversation with to help this political debate in Iraq? Are you willing to talk to resistance? How are you going to, specifically, how are you going to reduce the Iranian influence given the large influence of the Skiri in the government in Iraq today? Again, I'm asking it politically. Is the government planning on doing anything politically?
Thank you. I think that the Iraqi people will keep the politician in the room and they ask them, not the others. This is the way, because they had elected them. This is very important. Iraqi government is responsible toward their House of Representatives, the Council of Representatives. Definitely, I know there is a word here that the non-success in Iraq, it makes the situation here, because it's an election here, and definitely there is a concern here that the Iraq, there should be an achievement in Iraq, not only United States, most of the countries. It is not only just Iraqi responsibility, it is a regional responsibility. Limiting the influence of Iran, definitely partially it's Iraqi, but the other part, having a good relation with Iran, probably it could help us in Iraq. Having a conflict with Iran, we have to pay for it, definitely. We are urging the United States and Iran to have a certain arrangement, certain understanding, certain, we feel that probably the Sharm el-Sheikh could provide a place where they sit together and discuss the issues. We understand that the influence of Iran is dangerous for us in Iraq, as well as the other Arabs. It's not only Iran. We don't limit it to Iran, but Iranians is working in a long term, and this is constitute a danger for Iraq, Iraqi people. The government of Iraq definitely is taking the steps, but again, there is an international threat to Iraq. There is a terrorism which has been covered, funded, media covered. There is a fatwa, there is edicts, as I said, from the others, from outside the border. Border is open. We cannot do any other steps toward those who open their border for the terrorists to come to flow to Iraq and to kill us. This needs an international help, international support. The Iraqi government is taking all its responsibility and doing its utmost in order to fulfill the requirement by the Iraqi people, by the Parliament, and I think that the problem of the time here creates a tension, creates stresses on both Republican and Democrats, and we do understand the concern, and we are working to have the satisfaction of our people in Iraq.
If I may just do a quick follow-up question, do you feel that the Iranian influence in Iraq is directly related to the U.S. presence in Iraq? And if so, if the U.S. presence, if the U.S. troops leave, will that help the Iranian influence? And what is your vision for the political for Iraq, for the political process in Iraq after the U.S. troops leave?
Yes. No, I don't think that is related only. Iranian influence will not be limited when the troops will be leaving. Iran want to use Iraq as a card, as they had succeeded in Lebanon in creating Hezbollah. We are aware that Iran want to have a long-term presence, a long-term influence in Iraq. But at the end, unless, as I said, unless the Iraqi people themselves, they resist such influence, it should be encouraged. All the moderates should be encouraged in order to have to have their identity, Iraqi identity, away from Iranians, no success will be achieved. The political, definitely the political process, it's going on, whether that the American troops there, the troops is not interfering with what was going on election or the other. We hope that the election, the way of election, the system of the election, the electoral, all arrangement should be improved in a way in order to get a real representation, the governorate, the council, governorate council, election, which hopefully that it will be 2007, end of 2007. This is we need to see the real representation. Iraq is reforming. This is a transition period for Iraq. For the first time, Iraq having such election. For the first time, Iraq has such government, elected government. So it's not an easy. Definitely, Iraqis need time in order to get proper and fair democracy. Election is not only enough. Definitely we need to have a self-governance, we have to anti-corruption, lot of good institution we should have. This is all help the democracy, all help the election. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, we have time for one or two more questions. Yes.
Ghalib Al-Ambaghi from Iraq. Further to the question by Mr. Paul, and the intelligent answer of my dear Dr. Al Dabbagh, I think you have seen, I want to add something. I think you have seen yesterday Washington Post on the first page, the picture. As I look at it, I feel happy that it's a parade of the Iraqi flag. Though there is something, there's a committee to look into having a new Iraqi flag, but let us take it as for the time being. And I think if you have read the report by the Washington Post, I was impressed by one of the people there, though some unfortunate events happened in the demonstration, but let it put it aside. But one, his name is Hamza, he quoted as saying, we raise the flag, we raise the Iraqi flag, we raise our flag, and we want to show the world that we are united. Let us take it positively. This comment is something good, taking it into the, within the context of what is going on now in Iraq. History, the mainstream of the Iraqis is they are moderate. This extremism or terrorism, they are unnatural growth. Outgrowth in Iraq, and definitely they will phase out with the evolution of the political process in Iraq. Thank you.
Shukran. Thank you, Ghalib. It is a comment, and I appreciate what you said, and it's real. In Iraq is the majority. What had said in Najaf, what's shown in Najaf, definitely is not the real. The real picture in Iraq. The Iraq is majority are moderate. Minority are those who, from all sides, even you got in the court, also they are extremists, which they would like to to do what they want. But at the end, that the majority of the Iraqis are moderate, and you could feel that. Now, due to this pressure of terrorism, now due to the pressure of the deficiency in some places in Iraq, you will feel people frustrated. But everybody knows that Iraq is reforming. In the whole history, we had massacre and this, like that, what we have now and then again, the Iraqis. Iraq is the first civilization in the world. And definitely Iraq got such dignity, Iraqi people. I'm sure that such history will entitle them to be reformed. Such the one last thing I would just say that now the revenue sharing, which has been under debate in Iraq, although that there is a call, as per the Constitution mentioned, that the sharing of the revenue will be depending on two measures. One is the population, and the second, the poverty, and the poverty of the city, the less services, two criteria. The second criteria being ignored now, because all Iraqis feel that the unity of Iraq is much more important than the revenue and the money and the wealth. This is the Iraqis are sacrificing in order to keep the unity of their country, and to make assurances, as answer for Mr. Hassan, the assurances that everybody and all the people, especially the Shia, I've been in the Constitution Drafting Committee in the Federalism Chapter. We were insisting that the revenue and the resources will be a state-owned, not a region-owned. There are people are calling that to have it region-owned, and then we'll give a small part to the central government. We had agreed to have it now state-owned in order to keep the unity of Iraq. So this is the real face of Iraq, and we are quite sure that this will be the victory of Iraq. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to thank again Dr. Ali Dabai. I'm afraid he does have to leave for an urgent meeting. And I want to thank Lauren Sucher, Quimba Boston, Robert Grace, Scott Lazensky for helping today. Please help yourself to the publications of USIP as you leave. And thank you again for coming. One.